I just decided to call you, tell you about it. The way I count them, I've got 26 men with solid, including, which I'd say the least, the most doubtful thing about it being that I hadn't touched base with Bartman since I talked to you. Now we take these three who as far as I'm concerned, told me they're going to vote for me, and you've got some doubts about that, out of which I hit by who firmly committed himself knowing that what the problem was going to be, and you don't...
These two.
You doubt, they think they've got that vote, and maybe they have, I don't know. All right, now Mansfield and Metcalf, those, I count those three, but if I have those three, I've got 29 votes. All right, now...
Metcalf, Mansfield, and who?
Metcalf and Mansfield. By Metcalf and Mansfield would give me 29. Now, I've talked to a couple of my friends who know Mansfield, not nearly as well as you do, but have their own ideas, and one of them says that, I didn't use your name, but one of them, I said, this is what my friend told me I better look out for, and one of them said, well, I think that's exactly right, and the other one said, well, I don't think it's right for one reason. Mansfield called you. He said, he called you his own volition. He said, I think that the guy, I just have my doubt that he told you to lie to you. He said, I just don't think Mike's quite that kind. So that you got those two things, but that's right. Touch and go there, and I've got Dick Russell's number where he's supposed to be. I'll call him and see what Dick thinks. Now looking at this, the top one we got here, Fulbright. I talked to him. He voted for me last time. He's got some various things in mind, some things that ought to be done about whether his committee ought to be reduced in size. He ought to be on the policy committee and one thing or another. I said, well, I suppose I can help with some of that, any of it or some of it. The question is, I don't think I can help you if you can't vote for me. I said, now can you, can I count you? Well, he kind of got down about the hem and haw and said, well, I guess so. And that sounds right or so, something like that. Finally, he said, well, I'm going to call Mansfield about the policy committee. So then my administrative assistant gets word from his administrative assistant that Fulbright's flying back in here. His wife had to come back separately from Puerto Rico, but he's flying back in to be at that meeting, and his administrative assistant thinks he's leaning to me. All right, now Steve Young tells me that for public consumption purposes he's uncommitted, but that his inclination is toward me, and he wants to talk to me tonight. Quentin Burdick. That's just something I'd kick myself in the tail for. If I'd called him sooner, I'd have that vote. And but Quentin Burdick is a potential. He won. I didn't know that he felt as friendly toward Hartke as he does, but he called Hartke last night to consult with him and advise with him. And it's the pressure that he got on him has got him worried a little bit. But I think that when Buddy gets in here that I've got a good chance to get that vote. A Bible's definitely for me. So that the way I check them out, it's the ball's up in the air, but it looks to me like, and furthermore, here's a guy from the Postal Union who talked to Yarber, because Yarber might equivocate with him, but he says that Yarber's doubtful, but he thinks he's leaning toward me. I'm going to have to talk to Ralph. Ralph told me when I talked to him a couple of nights ago that he wanted to sit down and talk to him before he voted, but he thought that he would be he'd be inclined to. But it sounded like he thought he may have to vote with Kenny, but he wanted to talk to anybody. Now, Eagleton called in, and he called in to tell me that he thought he had to vote for the other guy. And I said, well, now, I talked to him and told him a few things about the Senate, about how some of these young folks come up and do what I did, leave the charges of a light brigade, join the bomb throwers, and even try to stir up your own private revolution, and find out that all that stuff didn't do anything but reduce your influence and drop you back down the foot of the ladder. And you had to start all over again. And so that the smartest thing he could do would be to talk to Symington before he went in there, because in the last analysis, Symington would probably do more to help him in his progress in the Senate and in his remaining there than anybody in the Senate. And that the smartest thing he could do would be to vote the way Symington did, in my judgment. And that they had Simonson locked, but them I had Simonson locked out for. And that I knew Simonson intimately, and he and I had done many things to help one another. And that my judgment, he goes the same way as Simonson. He's got to be doing the wise thing. So he said, well, he's gonna get in touch with Simonson, and Simonson Stewart gets back and talks to him. And so I think I'll be talking to Stewart probably just like the last time I had had a race like this 4 years ago. Morning before we go in there to vote, if I get Simonson, I might get the Eagles at two. So looks to me like I've got a now Harris is definitely, as you figured, that's out. Count Harris. They've got Harris. Now, so that the way I count them is that I count Yarbrough, Fulbright, Steve Young, Simonson, and Burdick is doubtful, and I think I ought to get some of those. I'm trying to reach Dick Russell, and I'm prepared for the possibility that I might have been lost to me without having told me, and that even if I met Jeff and Mansfield let me down, I still got a chance on coming through. That Fulbright, Young and Burdick, or if you don't get that combination, picking up Simonson or Yarbrough, Simonson, Eagleton or Yarbrough. So, as I see it, for country boys fighting all I'm up against, I think I'm pretty good to still be in there with the game tied at the top of the ninth inning.
Well, every one of those men, you ought to sit down and talk to them, and wherever they are, you ought to go see them, because they've done it, I expect, several times.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
You ought to do whatever you have to hang on, because my guess is he thought he had 29 votes when he announced.
Yeah.
And these facts, you see, an incumbent, when a man's in doubt or doesn't commit himself, it's a pretty good indication he's not for the incumbent.
Yeah.
I found that out lots of my experiences, that when governor doesn't speak out for me, why, he's been serving with me, and he knows that I'm there, and that's a pretty good indication that he doesn't want any heat on him, and he's going to act like he's in doubt, but he's really not. Phil Hoff and Vermont and this Governor Hearns and Missouri and all of them treated me that way. And there's among the liberals, whether it's making a difference how much you vote with them and how much you help them, in the last analysis, they just can't get over the fact you're born in Louisiana and you're a southerner and your state didn't go for the nominee and you've got oil and they're bitter, and that's the Post-Dispatch, and you haven't got any more chance of getting Eagleton and Simonson than you have of getting Javits. And the same thing, I think, is pretty true in the Kentucky, the Louisville. Of course, they have no Democrats, but I mean where that paper is. I've always watched it, and it goes about the same way. The New York Times, they deliberately laid the plot that you were a shoe-in, and that it's going to be awfully hard, and Teddy, uphill fight. But that's part of their general strategy, in my judgment. And what I can't understand is why Muskie wants Teddy to be the nominee instead of himself. But I guess that Eastern influence, all the church, the whole outfit up there, I guess they get together, they usually do. Are you going to get Ribicoff?
Ribicoff has announced in Connecticut, he's announced publicly that he's going to vote for Kennedy. That don't necessarily mean that, in my judgment. Now that on a secret ballot, I think that's potential. That's what I can put it to you that way. It's conceivable that on a secret ballot you might get that vote.
No, I don't think so. Not a chance, in my judgment. My best judgment is the best thing. I doubt that you. I doubt you could ever do it, but you might be able to. You might be able to hold by. I don't think so. I just think he's like Harris. I think they run together, they eat together, they visit together all the time. He wants to be on a national democratic basis. He's looking for a bright future, and his wife wants to be head of the National Democratic outfit, and he's got 6 years, and he doesn't think that he's got much future with you, and he thinks the Kennedy money and the Kennedy, you know, Kennedy's wife was out there campaigning for him all over the state. And he's not gonna vote against Kennedy.
Well, if I can get Fulbright, Steve Young, and Burdick, I still got it.
Yeah.
So I think you're right on it. The Don Tompkins model fellas.
You got to do it, and you got to have every friend you got that's willing to talk to him too, because I have no doubt about what Mansfield. Oh, if he had just said, no, hell no, you can't do this, let's don't split the party 50-50 here. Let's don't have any 29, 26 votes. We can't do this. I believe if he'd done it, I doubt that this group would have moved without him and without Humphrey. They moved, and they'd already talked to them, both of them, when they had. And they didn't ask me. They just told me they'd made their announcement. And they listened to it.